Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil.
You're back.
It's good to be back in the studio.
He is live here and in the flesh.
Amen,
last week,
brother.
We had him on some kind of satellite feed.
Remote
from somewhere.
Satellite feed.
Yeah, it's much better having you here because that way we can have a better conversation. And
exactly.
I can tell you what to read without you crashing your car into something.
Exactly. Hey, can you read this? Not right now.
No, I'm going 70 miles an hour on the turnpike. Anyway. Wow. So all week's gone by since then, and it's already a week after Easter, already a week after the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Oof, pretty exciting. And we talked about the resurrection last week, of course, and started with Luke chapter 24 and went through some teachings from there. And I think what we'll do is we'll start a little bit. We'll start from Luke 24 again, this time the passages that are called the Road to Emmaus,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure you're all familiar with. And maybe what we'll do is, you want to just read it first,
sure.
Steve?
And, yeah.
Yeah, why don't you just go ahead and read it, and then we'll start talking about it.
Okay. Now that very day, two of them were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast, and one of them, named Clopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place in these days?" And he replied again to them, "What sort of things?" And they said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place." Wow.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, this is the same day
mm-hmm.
that the women went to the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
And then Peter and John ran to the tomb.
It's Easter night.
Yeah. And it's interesting that, you know, they're walking along and Jesus draws near to them and,
yeah,
what are you guys talking about?
Yeah. It's interesting how these two guys, you know, Emmaus is 7 miles from Jerusalem.
Right.
And it doesn't exist anymore. So we don't know if these two guys were going home, or we don't know if they were going to visit somebody to tell them what had happened, but presumably they were going home, because then Jesus ends up in the house of one of them. But they had left, they had been in Jerusalem for the weekend. They had left the other disciples, the other followers, and they were walking.
Right.
And they looked like they were sad. In fact, Jesus says, "Why are you guys so sad?"
Yeah.
So, yeah, they were
being downcast.
Yeah, downcast. So they were confused. They were walking kind of slow. You know, you can tell how somebody's feeling by the way they walk.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the watchman on the walls of a city, when they saw a messenger coming, could tell if the battle had gone well or not gone well
yeah.
by the way he was walking.
Yeah, if they were droopy.
Trudging along. They go, uh-oh.
Bad news.
Must have lost the battle.
They're skipping.
But if he's skipping and
yeah.
perky, yay. So anyway, these guys are kind of trudging along. And they are going 7 miles. So an average person walks about 3 miles an hour or so. It would take about probably 2.5 hours. We don't know how old these guys were, but probably 2.5 hours to walk to Emmaus. And they were thinking about all the things that had happened over that weekend. They were kind of confused. they thought, well, you know, we thought that this Jesus was the Messiah, but then he died.
Mm-hmm.
We thought he was going to redeem Israel. They probably thought he was going to reestablish this Davidic kingdom, but then he died, and now some women said he wasn't in the tomb, that he had been raised. So there was this confusion, and you can imagine what a confusing picture that would be, because if you knew this man, if you had heard him teach, if you had been with him for some time, maybe they saw him die. And now all of a sudden, they're walking away from the city. They heard that he's been raised from the dead. It's all kind of a very confusing time.
Yeah.
And he comes and walks with them.
Yeah.
But they don't recognize him.
Yeah. He's hidden from their sight.
Yeah. And he's, you know, it says that, you know, he kind of arranged that. They were, you know, restrained from recognizing him.
Yeah.
Their eyes, you know, didn't know it was him, even though they knew Jesus. They had been with him, walked with him, listened to him, probably ate with him, sat around with him at Denny's having breakfast, and they knew him as a person, but now they didn't recognize that this was him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of interesting that he asks what they're talking about and asks them why they're sad.
Yeah.
It's just kind of neat.
Yeah.
Neat way to start the conversation. He cares about him.
Exactly. Yeah. It really is interesting that he just doesn't, you know, say, hey, you know, I'm him.
Yeah.
I'm risen.
Yeah.
Don't
Here
be sad anymore.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting that that takes place. And that's always, you know, as we've gone through the story of the road to Emmaus, I've always wondered about that, and that Jesus just starts a conversation with them that's going to get them to talk. And then he starts talking with them.
Mm-hmm.
And he just carries on this conversation. Mm-hmm. Now, and what's interesting is here he is, God, risen from the dead. All power and authority are under him.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes up to these two disciples and just says, hey, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah. That's really cool. And he really cares about him. Like,
yeah.
Not only is like, what are you talking about, but why are you guys so sad?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And he's doing this with two men that are walking.
Mm-hmm.
Not 100,000 people gathered somewhere,
right,
or a huge crowd like when he fed them with bread and fish, or when he preached the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, he's walking with just two guys that are very ordinary people, and they're basically walking home after what seems to have been a really bad weekend.
Yeah.
They're walking home, and he walks with them and asks them why they're sad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he says, so they tell him why they're sad. Oh, you know, we thought this guy was the Messiah, and he died, and now they're talking about maybe he was raised from the dead. I don't know. Kind of a, you know, they really kind of tell him exactly what they're thinking.
Yeah.
And they describe him as somebody who was mighty, a mighty prophet. We thought maybe he was the Messiah. Our people crucified him.
Yeah.
We were hoping he was going to redeem Israel.
Mm-hmm. And now it's the third day, and, you know, since all this took place. And then they tell him, some of the women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And so now they're telling Jesus what's happening. Here, you know, here's what's taken place in the morning. Some of the women from our group went there, and they came back and told us what they had seen. some more of us have gone back and found things just as they described, and we're just astounded at this.
Yeah. And you can understand why they'd be astounded.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you had seen one of your friends die and you saw him be put in a tomb and then somebody came and said, well, he's not in a tomb anymore. He's risen and there's been angels there. And you'd be like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, but that sounds pretty crazy.
Yeah. And then what's interesting is they're telling him this, but yet they're still walking downcast and sad.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they've received this news, they're still downcast and sad because they don't understand all this shit. They didn't believe
it. They didn't believe it, and you can't expect. You know, that's not surprising.
Yeah,
you're not. You know, you don't kind of say, "Well, how could they not believe it? Yeah. We believe it. How could they not believe it?"
Yeah,
it sounds like a pretty ridiculous story.
Yeah,
especially from some stranger who's walking with you and.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we have 2,000 years of the lens of the resurrection to look through, and
yeah,
you know, it would have to be the same as if, you know, imagine if your loved one was risen from the dead and you just went to their funeral.
Yeah.
Would you believe it?
Yeah, exactly.
At first,
exactly. All they were talking about was the suffering and the bitter, sad stuff that had happened over the weekend.
Yeah.
Which they presumably had witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all that they're thinking about because they saw that with their own eyes.
Yeah, as we talked about last week, I mean, that it's not something that didn't make a deep impression upon their minds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was something, obviously, if you really look at the crucifixion and the death of Jesus, if you were there, it would have made a deep impression on you. I mean, we would have a whole different, I think, understanding of our faith if we simply went through that and saw it with our own eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. And when that's been, when you see a sight like that, and again, you know, I mentioned the movie The Passion of the Christ. I mean, watching that movie was hard enough.
He suffered a brutal death.
Yeah, but if you would have seen that face to face, you know, in live and in person and walking with him and seeing the body go into the tomb,
mm-hmm.
you'd have been walking slow too. And you'd have said, wow, you know, we knew this guy for 3 years. We thought he was going to redeem Israel. And I don't know about this resurrection thing, but we saw some pretty horrible stuff happen.
Yeah.
It was horrible, bloody stuff. And
I
the last thing you would have thought was he was going to come out of that tomb.
Mm-hmm.
But then Jesus takes this opportunity to do some teaching. And they start one of the coolest Bible studies that's ever been done.
It's interesting how Jesus starts this conversation.
Yeah.
After the
yeah, go ahead. Why don't you read 25 through 27? That's pretty good.
Okay. So after these two men tell Jesus all this, Jesus says to them, "Oh, how foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things? Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures.
Whew. So he starts doing a Bible study because now, you know, he calls them foolish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these were guys that presumably knew the scriptures.
Right.
And not only did they know the Old Testament scriptures, the Tanakh, they had also heard him teach. And now they kind of forgot all that. They're not thinking about all that because now they're saying, well, I don't know. We thought this guy was the Messiah, but he died. And now there's this crazy report that he's been raised. And I don't know. So he says, listen, why don't you guys get this? So he starts with Moses and the prophets and goes through all of that biblical scripture and shows how it's all about him.
Yes.
And this is another example of how important it is to study the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
the Torah, the prophets, the wisdom literature. Because at this point, it says he goes through Moses and the prophets, and all of the things there point to him. And it says he goes through it all. Remember when he does the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? He says, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe that someone was raised from the dead.
Exactly.
Which was an amazing prefigurement to this situation. Because then, you know, the guy in the story said, oh, you know, if you send Lazarus back to my brothers, then they'll get it. Because after all, a dead guy will be back. So they'll have to believe it.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus says, well, you know what? If you don't believe Moses and the prophets, you're not going to believe somebody could rise from the dead.
Exactly.
Amazing thing to say.
Yeah.
So he says to these guys, hey, remember what it says? Remember what I said? And all of this is in Moses and the prophets.
Yeah.
It was all about me. You know, he says the scrolls talk about me. And he explains everything. I wish that would have been recorded.
That would have been
that
awesome.
That would have been a great group of CDs to buy. Or at least if they could have written it all down.
Yeah.
But this was like the best Bible commentary you ever could have had.
It would have been a great set of CDs to have, like I said. Too bad they didn't have any of those electronic recording devices like we have today.
Yeah. And he really does this. I mean, these guys had been to Bible studies. They had been in the temple. They had been in synagogues. They heard rabbis and teachers do great teachings from the Torah. They would have heard great teachings on Sabbaths at all these different places from excellent teachers in the temple, in whatever synagogue they went to, in Emmaus, if there was one there. But this was different because it says their hearts were burning. You know, it's going to say in a minute that the explanation of this was so overwhelming that they said, this is absolutely the coolest Bible study we've ever been to.
Right.
I mean, this is better than the Bible study. It's better than the home group. It's better than the prayer group we had the last week. It's better. It's a lot better than that boring guy at the synagogue over there.
Yeah.
I mean, this was remarkable.
Yeah.
And they didn't want it to end.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe you should read that. Rather.
Yeah. Let's read from the rest of, 28, Luke 24.
Read
28.
Yeah, 28, 29. That's good.
So as they approached the village to which they were going, he gave them the impression that he was going on further. But they urged him, stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them.
Yeah. They didn't want the Bible study to end.
No.
This was like really exciting. They don't know who this guy is.
It's been going on for hours.
It's a couple hours already, but they really know. This guy really seems to know a lot about Moses and the prophets, and he's explaining it in such a way that we're really getting excited about this.
Yeah.
And they don't want it to end. So please don't go away yet. Let's go in the house and continue with this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to learn more about this.
Yeah.
Whew. Break. This is an awesome song.
Exactly.
Remember, giftofgraceministries.org.
And Facebook.
And Facebook. Let's listen to a great Paul Wilbur song, and we'll be back with the Gift of Grace in a minute.
Blessed is the Lord, Baruch Adonai, Elohei Israel Adonai. Blessed is the Lord, Hi Ha'olam, Vat Ha'olam, praise His name forever and again. Hi Ha'olam, Vat Ha'olam, blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel. blessed is the Lord. Baruch Adonai, Elohei Israel Adonai, blessed is the Lord. Min ha'olam, but ha'olam, praise His name forever and again. Min ha'olam, but ha'olam, blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Phil Giuliani with Stephen Garchar, and we're on the road to Emmaus.
Yeah, that's an awesome. I wonder if they were playing that song on the road to Emmaus.
That's an awesome song.
That would be pretty awesome if you had Paul playing guitar on the road to Emmaus.
I'll tell you what. I want to set up a praise and worship thing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee.
So that would be awesome.
You and I can do like some conference there, and Paul could come and do music.
Ooh,
and we could have
really
like
good
20,000 people there singing.
Woo. That's all?
Well, okay, 50,000 okay. people there singing. Yeah, that would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
What a great setting that would be.
On the Sea of Galilee.
Yeah, unless it was July or August where it would be really hot. Maybe we should do it in the winter.
Yeah.
Be a little more pleasant. So these guys hear this whole exposition of the Old Testament, everything that refers to Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, and they don't want this to end.
No.
I mean, if you've been to a Bible study and you don't want it to end, it happens to me all the time. Or you're hearing a great teaching and you say, man, I wish we could have like 10 more minutes of this.
Yeah.
As opposed to, we've been sitting here for an hour, we got to get out of here. That might be your church, I don't know.
Hopefully the listeners feel that way about our show.
Yeah.
We don't want this to end. Come on.
I wish it was 2 hours long.
Exactly.
But anyway, they don't want this to end, so they invite him in the house. They don't know who he is, and you know, one of them lives there, and they invite him in so he can keep teaching.
Right.
And this is what they think is going to happen.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, when he goes in, he sits down at the table.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's of course very reminiscent of what happened, you know, 3 evenings before this.
Right.
Which was the Last Supper, which was the Passover Seder. And he sits down at the table and they sit around the table,
mm-hmm.
and he has just gotten done doing this incredible teaching. And then all of a sudden he takes bread. He says the blessing and he breaks the bread.
Right.
And then they recognize who he is.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. Their eyes are opened in the breaking of the bread. And oof. It's really awesome that Jesus takes a simple element of bread.
Yeah.
Which he took at the Last Supper. You know, again, he said the blessing at the Last Supper, said, this is my body. It's going to be given for you and for all men. That's, you know, sins are going to be forgiven. And it's going to be it's part of the new and everlasting covenant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Simple elements.
Mm-hmm. Bread and wine.
We don't know if they just had, we don't know if they had wine there too, but when they break the bread, and this is the unleavened bread, remember they're still in the Feast of Unleavened Bread here. This is Easter night, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread goes on for 7 days, so they wouldn't have had Italian bread or French bread. They wouldn't have had sourdough or like, you know,
Asiago cheese bread.
Any of that. No. They would have just had flat unleavened bread. Kind of like a pita, or maybe even like a matzah.
Yeah.
And when he broke the bread, they recognized him. Because now they realized they were having communion with him.
Yeah.
They met him at the table, which is really cool.
Yeah.
They meet him at the table of the Lord.
Yeah.
We don't even know. These guys might have even been at the Last Supper. You know, we don't really know
how
many people were there. We don't know if it was just Jesus and the 12. And then, of course, Judas left early, but we don't know if there were other people there, too. We don't know if these guys were there. But interestingly, because Jesus called himself the bread of life and said, your ancestors ate manna in the desert and they died.
Right.
But if you eat this bread, you're going to have eternal life.
You live forever, yeah.
He's the bread. He's born in Bethlehem, which is a house of bread.
Yeah.
Says, I'm the bread came down from heaven. I'm the living bread.
Yes.
So he breaks the bread and they recognize him.
Yeah, and as soon as they recognize him, he vanishes from their sight.
Yeah. And then they're just totally blown away. So now they don't get up and say, well, I guess we better clean up around here and we'll watch a little TV and get some sleep. Because after all, we've had a really hard weekend.
Yeah.
They say, wow. Well, why don't you read the rest of that about their hearts burning? Okay. That's pretty cool.
I'll go from verse 31. With that, their eyes were open, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?
Mm.
So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, the Lord has truly been raised and he has appeared to Simon. Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they spent this day journeying to the southern town,
trudging along.
And they run back to Jerusalem.
Yeah, that's right. Because now they say, weren't our hearts burning? They're so excited. They're so on fire that they couldn't, like, say, let's clean up and go to bed.
Yeah.
It's been a long weekend and we got to go to work in the morning, whatever, or whatever it was. Let's see if there's anything on TV. They jump out of the chair and they run back to Jerusalem.
They're no longer
7 miles back.
Yeah.
Now, instead of taking 2.5 or 3 hours, it probably didn't take nearly that long because they hurried back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they ran, but they hurried back. That's a pretty long run. And they had to share this experience. And again, when you experience Jesus, you want to tell other people about him. You know, the mm-hmm. woman at the well,
yeah.
Andrew,
yeah.
You know, Philip, Peter later, all the people that experienced him and knew him, you want to share your experience.
Yeah.
They wanted to run back to Jerusalem and say, we better go back and tell those guys
yeah.
what happened, because they were still in the upper room.
Mm-hmm.
So they go the 7 miles back to the upper room.
Yeah.
And they come in on the rest of the group.
Yeah.
Woo.
And the rest of the group is talking about how the Lord's been raised and how he appeared to Simon. And then they recount what happened to them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
now they're sharing their stories of what's happening on this yeah. resurrection day.
They're doing testimonies.
They're doing testimonies.
So
that's what it's all about.
Yeah. So these two guys tell their story. Peter and the rest of them tell their story.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just overwhelmed with joy.
Yeah.
Because what now seemed to have been a bad ending to this whole 3 years and the whole hopes of Israel being restored seemed to have been dashed.
Yeah.
Now say, wait a minute. We saw him. He broke the bread. We knew it was him. He disappeared. Peter says, oh yeah, we went to the tomb. The tomb was empty. Everybody starts to share their story, and now there's like this excitement building up.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of excitement building up.
Yeah.
And then the Lord appears to them in Jerusalem.
Yeah, this is great.
So let me read a little bit further.
Yeah, this is good.
So while they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Yeah, they've just recounted all this stuff that's taken place.
Yeah.
And then the Lord appears to them again and he sees that they're questioning.
See, we have to laugh because we can see ourselves
in
this.
Yeah. We're like doing the same thing. Why are you troubled and why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have. And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them.
Hmm.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. And this is, you know, we talked last week about the resurrection being the ultimate sign.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, here's the ultimate sign that here is a resurrected human body. Got anything to eat?
Yeah.
You got any chips or anything?
And he shows them
yes,
his hands and
the
his
wounds.
Feet.
The yes. wounds. And when I say, you know, we're laughing because we're all the same, and you know, Stephen and I often have some laughs at Peter's expense, but but we're all kind of like that.
Yeah.
And they're talking about, they're doing their testimony about how they know he's risen.
Mm-hmm.
The two guys come running back from Emmaus to say, we saw him. He's
yeah.
risen. So then he comes and stands in their midst. And do they say, oh, here he is. This is wonderful. Lord, thanks. I'm so glad you're back. They say, ah, it's a ghost. This is, you know, what's going on here? I mean, these are the same people that just walked with him, just heard this awesome Bible study,
yeah,
saw him disappear from their midst, and now they say, ah, it's a ghost.
Yeah.
and when he does come into the room, I mean, he doesn't have a key to the place. He just, you know, walks into the room and, you know, he says, peace be with you. You know, he would have said shalom. This yes. is the, this is, he's the ultimate shalom. You know, shalom is a cool word, which means a little more than what we just say peace. It's kind of an all-encompassing peace.
Right.
Like Jesus said, I give peace not like the world gives peace.
Exactly.
The world can't give peace like,
yeah,
like I do.
Right.
And, you know, he starts the conversation by saying shalom.
Yeah. And as we're recounting this, you know, I can't help but think of when I encountered the Lord and the Lord made himself known to my wife and I,
mm-hmm,
through the breaking of the bread, and how our hearts were just filled with joy. And we didn't have any, you know, we look back now and understood what, and we can understand what happened. But back then, we, you know, we were just like the disciples. We truly didn't understand what was taking place, even as it was unfolding, but we knew that we were encountering the Lord, you know? And so here he is. He comes into their midst. They're all standing around in the upper room and they're talking about what's taken place in this, during this whole day, this first day of the resurrection, and they're recounting everything that's happened. And as you're saying, Jesus comes into their midst and they're like, you know, astounded. And he says, peace be with you. And, you know, don't be afraid. And so as the story goes on, he says to them, and this is after they gave him the piece of baked fish and he ate it, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.
Mm. Well, that's awesome.
Wow.
So here he goes, comes in the room, shalom. Ah, it's a ghost. You know, most ghosts don't start the conversation by saying shalom or yeah. peace be with you.
No.
And they get frightened. It's the same people. So then he proved to them that it's him in the flesh. Come and touch me. Yeah. See that I have flesh and bone.
Yeah.
He doesn't have blood, but he has flesh and bone. He's a glorified body.
Mm-hmm.
And he's human enough that he says, do you have anything to eat?
Yeah.
So in their presence, he eats a piece of fish
yeah.
that they have in the refrigerator from wherever they have it.
On the ice and salt in the back.
Yeah, boy, it must have been pretty salted. But he shows them that it's truly him. And then the response to it is he does another awesome Bible study.
Yeah. he does his awesome Bible study again. Yeah.
Uh-oh, we're coming up on a break.
Paul and Greg are back.
Paul and Greg are back. This is the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220, www.giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
Lord of eternity, mystery behind the veil, Lord over heaven and earth, God of Israel, with your wisdom and power, clothed in your honor and strength. Lord, hear the cry of our hearts, come, O conquering King. And every eye will see your glory fill the sky. Adonai. lifted on high. Hear the beautiful gates, long to see you arise. And all of Zion sings, Baruch Haba B'Shem.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Gift of Grace. We're going to do a little advertisement here for a friend of ours. Melinda Bauman is the pastor at Worldwide Great Commission Fellowship in Eastlake. It's located at 33525 Curtis Boulevard in Eastlake. And there is a prophetic workshop, and it is being conducted with a prophetic school with Adam Levecchi, April 20th through the 22nd in Eastlake. That is this coming weekend. And the schedule is Friday, April 20th from 7 p.m., Saturday, April 21st at 10 a.m., and then Sunday, April 22nd at 10:30 a.m. If you want further information, you can go to Melinda's website. It's www.worldwidegcf.com. That's the word worldwide and then gcf.com. And you can get information there. It's going to be hosted by Worldwide Great Commission Fellowship at 33525 Curtis Boulevard in Eastlake. The phone number is 440-339-4117. Again, that's 440-339-4117. And it should be a good workshop on hearing the prophetic voice of God and learning about prophecy and receiving prophecy those types of things in the spiritual realm, you know, in the spiritual gifts.
Sounds like some Holy Spirit ministry going on.
Amen. Yeah, Melinda does a lot of Holy Spirit ministry there.
Amen. Wow. Check into it. Well, we only have a few minutes left, and Stephen and I have been walking on the road to Emmaus. Anyway, but now we're back in Jerusalem. In fact, yes. Now we're at the upper room, and these guys have gotten scared because they think they've seen a ghost. And Jesus had shown them his flesh and bone and eaten a piece of fish. And then it says he does another Bible study. This time it includes Moses, which, of course, are the first five books. First five books of the books of Moses.
Yes.
Then the prophets, and then the Psalms.
Yeah.
And even goes into the Psalms. The first part of this on the road to Emmaus, it didn't say Psalms. So now he includes the Psalms too. Mm-hmm. So he's giving like a little more in-depth study.
Yeah.
And he says, it's all about him.
Yeah.
It's all about him. So he's probably saying, listen, guys, let's go over this one more time. So yeah. we're going to do this Bible study again. It's a little bit expanded. And now, are you guys getting it?
Yeah.
And he opens their understanding so that they can comprehend these scriptures. So that's mm-hmm. really pretty cool.
And you know what he says, what Jesus says in here, these words I think are so important for anyone today mm-hmm. who's proclaiming the gospel.
Amen.
Any church, no matter what denomination you are, but anyone who believes. And I'm going to read those again, because Jesus is saying, thus it was written that the Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem.
Whoa.
To all the nations, that this forgiveness and repentance for sins would be preached. And that's our job.
Yes.
That's what a disciple does.
Yes.
We preach the good news. We preach the message of reconciliation through the blood of Christ back to the Father.
Amen.
You know,
woo, that's awesome.
It's nothing more than that.
And it's pretty neat too that he says it's going to be preached to all the nations beginning in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Because of course it has to be in Jerusalem.
Right.
Because in Isaiah chapter 2, it says the word of the Lord will go forth from Jerusalem.
Exactly.
And he says, don't leave the city. You're going to stay here. You're going to start preaching here, and then you're going to go out to all the world,
mm-hmm.
including the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Remember, all the Jews were living, most of the Jews were living in Israel, the land of Israel, in kind of a small area.
Yeah.
Then there were some Jews in diaspora that were around the Mediterranean, but he says all the world.
Yeah.
And it was going to start in Jerusalem. See, everything is prophesied in the Torah and in the prophets and in the Psalms. Jesus didn't just that day say, well, maybe we should just start from Jerusalem and then go out. This has all been prophesied, you know, 700 years before this by the prophet Isaiah. He's just reminding them.
You mean they didn't have a meeting beforehand?
They didn't.
They didn't form a committee?
No. No subcommittees.
No evangelization committee?
No handouts.
No tracts
it's
or flyers?
Holy Spirit ministry.
Oh my God.
In fact, you know, he's going to say, you're going to wait here for the promise of my Father.
Yeah.
Because the Spirit's going to be poured out. Then you're going to go from Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth.
And that again is so important, that the Holy Spirit was promised by the Father.
Amen.
It's part of God's plan. You know, and we can't ignore the portion of Scripture that talks about the Holy Spirit, because that's how everything was done.
Yes.
That's how the message of God's word was spread, by the power of the Holy Spirit.
And as we talk about many times, look at this group of guys. I mean, what a sorry bunch of guys.
And careful.
Right, they've already gone.
You're going to meet them one day. Careful.
They've already. That's okay. They know they're a sorry bunch of guys. They don't even care anymore because they're in glory. And they're not going to remember what I told
them. That's true. They have to forgive you.
That's right. But so when we're in glory with them, we'll just kind of slide by when we see one of them. But you know, he knows if you were going to pick a group of men to start this movement, this evangelization, you probably wouldn't have picked these guys.
Yeah, probably.
I would have gone to some big yeshiva and said, "Let's have some of the brightest guys here, your brightest rabbis, your brightest teachers, and listen, let me tell you how the law was fulfilled by Jesus, and let me tell you why he's the Messiah, and then go out and tell everybody."
Mm-hmm.
But no, this group of guys, he knows they can't do it on their own. They know they can't do it on their own. So he tells them to wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And then everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
Because then our friend Peter goes out and starts preaching, all those other guys in the upper room, and women too.
Yes.
Out in the streets, Phillips and Samaria preaching. And I mean, they're all over the place within a short amount of time, because now they're not doing it on their own power. Yeah. They're not reading the handouts that Jesus left them. They're not online checking what kind of worship songs they should use. They just go out and they just do it.
And they're preaching by, they'll be preaching by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it spreads through the whole world.
And they're witnesses of these things.
Amen. Eyewitnesses.
Eyewitnesses.
Yeah.
And they give testimony to what they've seen.
Yeah. And Paul's not even involved yet.
No.
He's still Saul.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
At this point.
And then when he gets involved, then it really takes off.
Yeah.
But this is an amazing thing of eyewitnesses being taught the scriptures by the eternal word himself,
yes,
teaching them about the written word,
yeah,
teaching them about the prophecies, and then saying, okay, it's going to start in Jerusalem and it's going to go to the ends of the earth.
Wow.
Ooh. So that's what you all have to do. Every person is an evangelist.
Amen, brother.
Not just people with collars or degrees or...
Or people with radio shows.
There are people with radio shows. Everybody.
Everyone.
Can't believe the show's over already.
I know.
Well, I hope you have had an awesome Lord's Day. Stephen and I will be back next week.
And have an awesome Lord's Day and go out there and preach the word of salvation and reconciliation. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.